Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the second episode of my podcast. Now, just a friendly reminder, if you haven't gone seen episode zero, greatly suggested, because it kind of gives a quick run through of what I want this podcast to be. The other thing is that I still don't have a name for it. So, if you like, in the comments below, however you do that, send me your ideas. Because I would love to have, like, a fan-submitted name for this podcast. And wanted to tell you, again, all unscripted. So, if you're a person that likes scripted stuff, this isn't for you. Because it's not scripted at all, and therefore, it's going to be fun. Okay, so this whole thing's unscripted, so if you're a scripted person, go listen to another podcast. But if you honestly don't care, give it a try. This is actually a pretty good podcast, in my opinion, because it kind of just shows just the improv skills that I have, which are little to none. For those of you curious, if you can hear in the background, I'm currently playing Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories. Which is kind of a good segue to what we'll be talking about today, which is actually Kingdom Hearts 1. Now, I will be talking about the entire Kingdom Hearts series, not as a whole, more as the games themselves. So I'll have an episode dedicated to each game. Because one long episode would be way too long, because I have too much to say about the games. Now, in some of your heads you might be thinking, if you're playing a different game than the one you're talking about, then how are you gonna stay on subject? Well, the answer to your question? I guess we'll find out, because I have absolutely no idea how I'm gonna do it. So, for future reference, I know Birth by Sleep is technically the first game, but I don't care, because this is the game that I'm most... The first game, not most acquainted with, but it's the first game that I've played all the way through, at least. And so I kind of know where to go with it. So, without further ado, let me get started on the Kingdom Hearts 1 rant. Now, Kingdom Hearts 1 is actually not a bad game. I fairly enjoy it quite a bit. Now, there is also something I will say about all Kingdom Hearts, or for most of the Kingdom Hearts games that they have that actually are annoying, but we'll get to that later. So, I'd like to start with the story, because a lot of people actually don't know what Kingdom Hearts is, and if you don't know what Kingdom Hearts is, I'm kind of sorry, because it's actually a very good game. The whole basis of Kingdom Hearts is just, you play as a guy with a sword, essentially, because it's essentially a sword. And he goes around and he hits things. Mainly enemies, but he still hits things. Organization of nobodies, people without hearts, try to constantly interfere with you, trying to kill you and all that fun stuff. So your job is to go around sealing the keyholes of Disney Worlds. Now, again, wouldn't be a problem if there wasn't enemies of all sorts. So, that's kind of a basic rundown. You'll just go through Disney Worlds, kind of interacting with the characters in some senses, but at the same time, you're just kind of there. Like, you can affect them, but it's like a whole new storyline from what it was before. So, Kingdom Hearts 1. Longest tutorial in a video game. Jeez. Like, the first world, Destiny Islands, technically isn't even a world because there's one enemy through the entire thing, and that's like 30 minutes after you start the game. Destiny Islands is so annoying sometimes, especially for that game in particular, because it's just like, the tutorial is so long, there's a lot of talking, and no offense to them, the characters' voices in the first game at least are very annoying. And so, that's kind of like the first part, is that like, usually the tutorials of these games, or like the first here's the kind of basis of what's going on. They're always too long. I remember usually spending like an hour on just like, without even hurting anything, killing an enemy, which is honestly sad. And I kind of wish they would change that. I mean, they're making a third game, so maybe they'll change it, but we'll have to see. So, after you get out of Destiny Islands, comes to all these new worlds. Sometimes it's Traverse Town, sometimes it's Twilight Town. Oh my gosh, the first world always changes in these games. You'll never get the same one. Basis here is that it's kind of like, here's a better tutorial, where it's like, now, instead of teaching you how to move and use your camera and stuff like that, we're now gonna teach you, oh my gosh, we're finally gonna teach you how to kill an enemy. Big shock, you swing your sword at them. Now, this wouldn't be a problem, again, if it didn't take so long. For Kingdom Hearts games, they have such a slow start, but after you get past, like, that first hour in the first world, oh, it just takes off from there. It goes from kind of slow to blisteringly insane. It's really cool on how it works. And I'll get to, like, you know, how the second game and all that stuff works, and, like, how there's, like, different modes and difficulties and stuff like that. And so, but that'll be future episodes. The first thing that the first game doesn't have, that it really needed, the ability to skip cutscenes. I know, that sounds really stupid. Like, it's in every modern video game where it's like, oh yeah, you skip cutscenes. Like if you don't skip cutscenes, or you don't have the option to skip cutscenes, like, they must be really important, and they're not. Like, the first game forces you to watch cutscenes. Not only that, if you die in a battle, it'll put you back before you start the battle. Therefore, you have to watch the cutscenes again. Oh, it's just, it's a pain. It's one of the few complaints I have about the game, but it's still pretty big, because it's something that can easily be fixed, too. But, I mean, some of the cutscenes are fine, like, you know, some of them are necessary, even though, after playing literally every Kingdom Hearts game that's out, I still don't understand the storyline. Even watching a 30-minute video was just like, well, I mean, after the Keyblade Wars, you're like, what the heck are the Keyblade Wars? And then it's just like, it talks about so much crap that, well, you don't know what the heck they're talking about. If you want to know what the storyline is, just go look up Kingdom Hearts storyline in 30 minutes, and there's going to be videos of people trying to explain it. Note I said trying, because usually if you try to explain the storyline of Kingdom Hearts, you're gonna fail. Because there's just so much stuff in it, and it's insane. It's honestly crazy how much storyline they can fit into this game that usually only involves Disney characters. But that's just, like, you know, cutscenes, and, like, you can't skip them. The battle system, I'm comparing this to Kingdom Hearts 2, even though it's Kingdom Hearts 2 is made to be more polished than the first. Like, it's not as clean as I originally thought it was. Like the first game was really cool, and I really enjoyed it. I actually had a lot of fun, but, like, there's just some things in it that I wish they could change, like the combat system. Like, I love the combat system, I like it how it is, Rechain of Memories did it kind of smartly with how they changed it, but, like, they changed it in a smart way and not how Recoded did it. Recoded did it wrong, and when we get to the Recoded episode, which most likely will be the last one, I'll explain why, because, ooh, if you've never played Recoded but you've played another Kingdom Hearts game, ooh, you'll never want to go back to Recoded ever again. It's so bad. I'm not bitter about the game, I just hate the game. It's just not good. Like, I mean, sure, it's fine the first time you play it, but when you really, like, think about it with the other Kingdom Hearts games, like, it's just trash. Like, there's so many things that game did wrong, but we're not talking about that game. We're talking about the first game. So, the first game had all these different worlds with all these really incorrect difficulties. Yes, the worlds had difficulties, and they were all wrong, because they were all kind of easy difficulty, even though I still went in sequential order. Mainly just because I'm like, well, I'm not going to do the hardest one first. I want to be able to go to the hardest world and just, like, poop all over it, basically. I want to be able to go to the hardest world and demolish it. But, mostly about that game, it's that the worlds themselves weren't hard. What was actually hard about it were some of the bosses. And, they were mostly unfair. If you want a perfect example, ask Clayton from the freaking, not Lion King, that's the wrong series, but the Tarzan universe. He was the most ridiculous boss, and he was literally like the second one of the game, if it kind of puts it in perspective. Especially like in Proud mode, which for those of you who don't know, is the mode where it's everything's harder. Because, you know, you gotta have a game where there's different difficulties. By the way, if you're new to the Kingdom Hearts series, don't plan on beginning. I've never done it, and, like, normal's a breeze, so beginning's probably, like, holding your hand the whole time. So, if you really want to get into the Kingdom Hearts series, play on normal. You won't regret it. Because normal, let's be fair, isn't that hard. Ask anyone who's played the games. The other thing about the first game that I can really, just really hammer on, and like, people tell you whatever they want, but everyone knows the gummy ship missions to get from world to world is the worst. Like, if you're gonna play the first game, I'm sorry, it's in the second game too, and the second game's polished. But the first game had gummy ship missions, where you fly in a ship, and you basically play kind of a first-person shooter, I guess? I'm probably wrong about that, but you see the point. You're in a ship, you shoot at things, you get materials that you're never gonna use. The gummy ship missions were harder than the actual worlds, usually, and they were equally as annoying because they were long. You can't skip them unless you have portals, and even if you have portals, you have to wait till you get, like, the warp hyperdrive to go between worlds. Ugh, it's the worst. But, I digress. Some people like them, and I can see how they can be enjoyable, but it's just so. Like, with the second game, Scummy Ship Missions, like, they did it better, in a way, because it didn't suck as much, but still, it still kind of sucked. The first game had a lot of really good bosses. Like, I know I'm really jumping from subject to subject here, but, I mean, the first game really had some good bosses. I can't think of all of them off the top of my head, but, I mean, who remembers the first time they fought Oogie Boogie if they've ever played the game? Like, literally, Oogie Boogie is one of the best bosses, just boss characters, in the Kingdom Hearts series. He's a gambler, he loves playing cards, he loves throwing dice, he loves, what else he does? Put you in a wheel and spin it around a little bit? He loves doing crazy stuff like that. And that's why I liked his character so much. He's just so unpredictable. You never know what you're getting out of him. Now, the other thing about, the boss fights, especially, like, Oogie Boogie, is that they're all so different from each other. And I know that sounds really stupid, but they are. Like, if you walk into Oogie Boogie's fight, for example, he has an extremely low health bar from when you fight him in either game. His health bar is usually one or two bars, while people in that era have, like, 4 or 5 bars worth of health. Usually because he goes in phases where most of the battle he's invincible. Especially in, like, you know, Rechain of Memories, where he's up in a platform that you can't get to. The first game, he's up on a platform that you have to wait to get to. And the second game, you have to knock presents into his platform, so he falls down. So, yeah, but, like, if you go to other bosses, they'll have, like, bigger health bars, they'll usually be stronger, and they'll fight their own fights, basically. That's all I'm trying to say. But most of the bosses, actually, were crazy. Who remembers the first time they fought Clayton? Obviously, would be the go-to crazy boss. But, like, Maleficent and all the other, like, really good bosses within that game. Because, I mean, there are a lot of them, and I haven't played the game recently, which is why I can't think of any of them. But, if you've played the game, you would know that, like, you know, it's very smart with how it presents its games. And how it, like, presents its bosses. Because it's, like, it's subtle and it's not subtle. It'd be like if, like, you kind of know who the antagonist is when you go into the world based on, like, the actual, like, Disney movie itself and stuff like that. But the other thing is that, it's also kind of, it's sometimes a surprise depending on what game you're playing and, you know, which time you visited in some cases. Because sometimes there are multiple visits in a world. At Kingdom Hearts 2. But usually the bosses are all really cool and crazy. And they're honestly probably the most enjoyable part about the game. If I had to choose one part. The first game had a lot of magic. That's something else. Like, there's all these Keyblades and all the magic. And I'll get to the Keyblades in a minute. Because, like, you know, they're all cool and all. But magic's the thing that kind of confused a lot of people. Like, oh gosh, I have magic? Like, I have, like, a magic meter and stuff? Yeah, you have a magic meter. And trust me, you're gonna wish, you're gonna love that you do. The first game kind of... Remember that I said there's some things that the first game did right? Well, it made Cure only take a part of your magic instead of all of it. In Kingdom Hearts 2, it takes your entire meter, not 2 pegs, I believe is what it is in the first game. Now, the first game's magic, there was a lot of it. There were so many spells in that game. And a lot of them were useless. I'm sorry, but who remembers using gravity or stop? Actually, go back. Gravity is useful. Stop isn't. Stop is actually just not useful in general. But it's just because, like, there's just so many spells in the game, and, you know, there's just not really a place for them. Like, it's very strange on how, like, it kind of works like that. And so, you know, if you have the... You know, you'll have bosses that require those spells, but, like, you'll use them once for a battle, and then you won't use them again. There also were summons in that game, which were honestly crazy as well. Put it this way, I took a break between... Like, I took a break when I played 1 about halfway through, long enough to remember how to not play the game right, and I did the same thing with 2, but we'll get there when we get to it. Whenever I didn't play the games, I had completely forgotten all, like, the smart tactics you were supposed to do in the game, because, you know, I hadn't played it for a long time. And so, you know, when I got back to the first game, I played it normally, and I finished it without, you know, really summoning and all that stuff. But then I went back and did it on Proud Mode, which, by the way, Proud Mode, you are not hard. Like, usually when I think of Proud Mode, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of scared to touch that. The only Proud Mode that I've actually seen as hard is Dream Drop Distance, and trust me. Oh, wait, that's either Proud or Critical. Same difference. Whichever one it is so difficult. And again, when I talk about Dream Drop Distance, I'll talk about its really weird difficulty spike. Just from, like, world to world and stuff like that. Because trust me, it's very unbalanced very quickly. Now, the other thing is that, like, the magic in the game, like, you know, you had your magic meter and you had your stuff that replaced your magic and all that. But the magic restoring item, Aether, was also very common in the game. In the first release of the second game, it was not common. They thought it was way too overpowered after they released the first copy, or the first copies of, like, the second game. And in the remix, they basically fixed it. They're like, okay, now there's, like, barely any ethers, and if you're gonna buy them, they're gonna be super expensive. Which, I mean, fair on their part. They didn't want to make the game easy, but, I mean, it kind of already is easy. Oh, just for context, I'm going off the knowledge of the originals, so no final mix versions yet. I would be mentioning them, but not as in, like, it's going to be my main source. My main source is the originals, because that's where I feel like all the glitches happen and all the, like, the fun stuff. And so, you know, the first Kingdom Hearts game was really cool. The graphics were actually not as bad as I thought they were going to be. Because, like, I mean, the PS2 was not the worst system in the world, but it also was not the best. It did pretty good in sales, if I'm remembering correctly. And the Kingdom Hearts series kind of had a weird start with it and all this kind of stuff. But, like, the Kingdom Hearts series has honestly somehow not died, and I'm very shocked. And, you know, it's taken them so long to make this third game, and so, you know, if I get any Kingdom Hearts developers listening, send me a review copy. I'd love to review that game. Xbox One, please, and thank you. Speaking of systems, it's only available on PS2, PS3, and PS4. And as an Xbox guy, I know if you're clicking off right now because of that, wow, actually, like, I wish I had enough nerves to click off a video because they played the wrong system. I know I screwed up. But, you know, if I'm being honest, like, I really kind of do prefer PS4 in some senses because of, like, some of their games I wish I could play, and I can't. There's not that many, like, Xbox exclusive titles that I just have to get my hands on. No, there's not any. I know a lot of people are like, but what about PUBG? That's an Xbox exclusive. Yeah, and I also don't want to shell out $40 for PUBG, so we're good. The other thing is that, it only being on PS2, is that I have to get used to both kinds of controllers. Now, the controllers for PSP, I actually really like. I really do like the PSP controllers. They're very, very smooth, they're very comfortable, but I mean, with this specific controller that I'm playing on the PS2, it's halfway broken, so it'll cut out every once in a while, which always is fun. Especially in the second game, where it doesn't pause your game when your controller cuts out. Oh, it just makes me so happy when it just dies in the middle of a very important battle. If your controller dies while in the middle of your fight, you would also understand. But enough about the systems. Keyblades. So yes, it's not a lie, it's a sword. Like, when I said, you're playing as a kid with the sword and he's swinging it around, like, I'm not technically lying about that because, well, he's swinging it around and it is technically a sword. I mean, it has the word blade in it. But it's kind of different because it can seal any door and unlock any door, which is kind of a cool ability, especially since it gets him out of every single pinch that he comes into at the underworld with Cerberus in Kingdom Hearts 2. But the main point isn't the fact that he can seal doors, it's that it's an ever-changing weapon. In each world, you get your own. Now, when you complete the world, you usually get a stronger Keyblade, depending on what order you do the world in. Some of the times when you complete the world, you'll get a weaker Keyblade, which is really disappointing. Because, like, I mean, I don't want a streamlined game where it's like, alright, well, if you do this world, you have to do this world first. Like, I don't want that. Because streamlined games, like, Like especially with this series, if they made it streamlined, I think that'd be really stupid on their part. But I can't control what they do, so it's out of my control. Anyway, each Keyblade has its own set of abilities, like hyper healing, which is kind of a drop me down. The Phoenix Down from the Final Fantasy series, it's a reviver, basically. You have MP Haste, which is like, if you run out of magic, it quickly restores as fast as possible. You have attack boosts, combo boosts, defense boosts, stuff like that. And so you have a little bit of everything, and sometimes the best abilities come with the worst stats. Best example of this, sweet, sweet memories from Kingdom Hearts 2. Has a really good ability. Lucky Lucky makes items drop more often, but it's also a 0-0 Keyblade, so it does nothing for you besides make squeaky noises, and that's not even a joke. Just look up footage for that. Sweet Memories, great. It's a great Keyblade. Just kidding. It kind of sucks as a normal Keyblade, but I mean, if you're grinding and you're really needing items, ooh, it's a good Keyblade. But no, they all have, like, their own special abilities. You also, in the game, this is a good transition, in a way. It's a transition to your partners, because you actually have partners in this game. However, they're not. Kingdom Hearts 1 is not as versatile with, actually, no, it is versatile with its partners, because, I mean, you got, like, you can get, you know, player characters from the actual shows and in the movies and stuff, and so I guess, like, it's fair there. But what it doesn't do, unlike the second game, if you'll see, you have more control over them, you have more options and kind of stuff like that. I mean, I like the first game, but the second game is so much more polished than the first, which obviously it would be, but I don't know. I feel like they just, like, saw the mistakes in Kingdom Hearts 1, not that there are many, to be fair, and they fixed it. And I kind of like that they're willing to fix a game that doesn't really even need to be fixed. Now, the other thing about, like, your partners in the game is that 90% of the time they're useless. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, your main partners, by the way, are Donald Duck and Goofy from the Mickey Mouse series. Big shocker there. Oh, well. But their abilities are okay, but you, in the second game, you only use them for forms and summons, and in the first game, you only use them for healing. No joke. Like, when I was grinding in the second game, I turned their attacks off, so my Lucky Lucky would have a better chance of working. Now, when it comes to them, they're weaker, of course. They help you out, don't get me wrong, but, like, I always found Donald more useful than Goofy. I always found him, like, replacing... I always found, like, the new partners from the world replacing Goofy. And it's not because Goofy's bad or anything, he's a really good character, but, like, it's... I don't know. Goofy's just kind of there. He's not, like... He's important, don't get me wrong, but, like, he's not as powerful as I'd want him to be, even though he's a defense guy, but, like, his defense only goes so far to himself. Donald's magic is actually really heavy hitting, unless, you know, the name of the game is Chain of Memories, and Donald continuously shoots the wrong elemental magic and ends up healing your enemies instead of hurting them, but, again, we'll get into AI problems later with the game, because there are a lot of them. Especially in, like, Kingdom Hearts 2 and stuff. But, however, in the first game, they're quite useful, actually. They're pretty cool. They're very helpful, and they usually don't fail when, you know, you want them to. So, you know, the bosses have their own... your partners have their own weapons, their own items, their own armor. So, like, this game is an RPG. I'm sorry. It is. It's an action RPG. And it's crazy with how it works. Now, another thing that the third game did right is the hidden bosses. Now, I'm not saying in the other games there aren't hidden bosses. For example, Dream Drop Distance has, Pete's brother in the sewers? I can't think of the name off the top of my head. The second game has all the Colosseum battles and, Sephiroth in the final mix, Terra, which is always fun. But hidden bosses in the first game are actually quite unique. You have the Ice Titan in the Olympus Colosseum, which I still have not beaten. You have the Agrabah boss, which, again, I have not beaten. Or, I have beaten the Agrabah one, I just can't pronounce its name. And I'll get into the problems with that boss later. And you have the Phantom, which is resting in Neverland. Now, I'm going to go into each of these bosses separately. So, the first one I'll be talking about is the Phantom, because he's the first one I killed, and he was kind of the easiest, per se. Put it this way, this battle is probably the only time you're ever going to use Stop as, an actual spell. I'm sorry, Stop, you're okay, but, you're not that good. The only useful thing that you're good in is any Kingdom Hearts game is using Freeze and Chain of Memories. Sorry, but that's the only thing you're good for. But this boss, kind of emphasizes you using it. If you've never played the game or you've never seen the boss before, let me kind of explain. You have a clock tower. You're fighting above the streets of London in that clock tower. You're flying around, and you're trying to basically destroy the Phantom. The Phantom, I don't know the specific spell name. I'm going to go with Doom because usually, Final Fantasy uses Doom and, Death and stuff like that for these kinds of battles. But in this game, or in this specific battle, the clock hands actually move. And at first, or you're also going to see a number above when your partner's head, and you're going to be like, oh, what's that mean? I'm actually very curious. You're like, I don't understand what this means. What it means, and this is really bad actually, is when that number reaches zero, your partner dies and is unrevivable. The other bad thing about this battle is they force you to use Peter Pan. Not the point. But to stop Doom, you have to freeze the clock tower. It doesn't freeze forever. Just freezes for it freezes for actually quite a bit of time, depending on what stop you have. By this time, you should have Stopra. Quick note, Stopra, the second level of stop. Every spell has three levels unless you're in Dream Drop Distance, where some of them have four levels. But it usually goes like fire. It is three forms. It'll be fire, Fyra, and Fyragra. Now, again, I know some people are going to be like, that's not how you pronounce it. Well, you know what? I don't know how to pronounce this stuff. I always pronounced it Fyragra, so, you can just shut up if you know how to pronounce it. And that's the truth. Because I don't care if you know how to pronounce it. I pronounce it the way I want it to, and I just don't care enough. So, yeah. But, that's the thing. Everything has three spells, but you should have the second level of fire by the time you get there. And, by this time, you should be able to stop the clock for a very long time. Now, when you do stop the clock, it just kind of makes it slower for them to kill you, which is, let's just be fair, really good. The Phantom also doesn't work like every other boss in the game. By the way, if you're watching this to actually, get advice from me, go into this battle with a very strong magic keyblade, because you're going to be using a lot of magic in this game. Or in this battle, at least. The battle specifically, or the magic, is going to be Fire, Thunder, Blizzard, and you're also going to be doing a little bit of melee, but not much. Now, the thing about, the melee attacks in the game are, Like, they're powerful, but you only hit them, like, once or twice before, if that, to even, like, damage the thing. Because the orb under him signifies what you use. If it's red, it's fire. If it's blue, it's blizzard. If it's yellow, it's thunder. If it's clear, that means that you hit it with your keyblade. I mean, it sounds easy until you realize that your magic does almost no damage, your physical attacks do no damage, and he can physically attack you, hurting you for a lot. So, Phantom, you complete it, and you get rewarded with the biggest letdown. You get a cure for stop. Again, never gonna use it outside of the battle, so I am sorry that stop has to exist. Because I don't want it to exist. They fixed it in the second game, however, but I feel like in the second game, so at some points it could have been more useful. But we're not talking about the second game. The Phantom does a lot of damage. The battle will take you 15 minutes, maybe, if you're lucky. It'll take you about 15 minutes, because, like, it's a slow fight. Let's be fair, it's pretty slow. And it's just kind of hard. It's hard to mentally do it for that long. And when you finally defeat it, you're happy, you get your next, you get your upgrade, you move on with your life. The Agrabah boss fight is much different because it's still a normal fight in some senses. Because, well, I guess it's normal. Because instead of doing, you know, flying battles, which we'll get to the flying controls in a moment, and we'll also get to swimming controls. Oh, swimming in Kingdom Hearts 2 is just the best. But the hidden Agrabah boss fight is significantly harder than the Phantom. If only because of the fact that the Phantom, like, at least with the Phantom, he gives you, like, a fighting chance. This guy just doesn't care at all about you. Like, again, I can't remember the name, and it'll screw up my audio if I try to even look it up. So, the Agrabah fight is the worst. I have completed it, though, and it took a lot of freaking willpower to do it. Now, with this fight specifically, he has two phases. They're both stupid, but he has two phases. Now, with his fight, in particular, his first phase, again, out of the two phases, his first phase, it's always the same thing. He switches from phase to phase, kind of instantly, in a way. And so, he'll be very smooth-ish, I guess. I mean, if you really want to put it that way, it's smooth in a way, so, I mean, it's all fine. But his first phase is easy in some senses and not easy in other senses, because his first phase, you can't use magic at all, meaning your healing items, like potions and high potions and stuff like that, is actually, you're going to need that for this fight. And I know it sounds like, oh my god, I'm actually going to get to use all, like, 6,000 potions I gathered throughout this entire game? Yes, you are going to be able to use them all. Because this guy sucks. The first phase isn't really that hard. You go around, you attack two, like, claws or heads, or you attack something when you attack. When you attack them, when you defeat them at least, it leaves you HP prizes. Which, if you don't know what that does, it just replenishes your HP a little bit. Which, let's be fair, is pretty good in this game. Especially for a cruel boss like that. Now, the boss is very, very not nice. The boss just hates you a lot. Evidenced by a second phase where, surprise, you get your magic back. But now, that's basically the only thing you can use at this point. You can't really do anything else besides use magic. Which sounds kind of strange, but it's the truth. You can only really use magic in this section. because he travels around an orb, and you have to destroy the orb. It has its own life bar or whatever. So using like gravity and thunder and stuff like that, it really helps. But in between both phases is the phase where you're actually hurting the boss for once. And that, you're just like attacking his head, and it's on a set timer. So basically, do as much damage as humanly possible to it. Then move on with your phases. Do your healing. Pro tip, use Aerora or Aerogra or whichever version you have at this point in the game, because it actually does reflect quite a bit of damage. And when you get magicked, or like when you get silenced from using magic or whatever, whatever effects you put on you before, which would be arrow, is continuous, so it would stay on as long as it normally does. In the first game, arrow's not a projectile like it is in 365, however. In the first game, it's a barrier. It's a barrier in a couple games, but, yeah. And so in the first game, it's a barrier. The Ice Titan I can't really talk that much about, besides he's big, and he's scary, and he shoots a lot of icicles at you. Yeah, he does. Gosh, it's kind of weird talking about the first game and not playing the first game to kind of, like, go off reference. So, what I guess I could say about the first game is that, synthesis. Okay. There are some things that Kingdom Hearts does for the advanced players. You're an advanced player when you do synthesis. Synthesis is easily a huge pain to do. To even get the best weapon in the game, you have to do so much crap to even get close to making it. Synthesis is probably the most ridiculous thing in the game. Like, it's cool, you can get some really overpowered items, but sometimes it's almost not even worth it. It's kind of strange with synthesis because it's complicated, but it's also easy at the same time. Like, all you have to really do is, like, just go around killing enemies, collecting the stuff they use, and then use that stuff to create, like, armor, items, keyblades, all that kind of stuff. But it's not as easy as it seems. It's actually quite hard. But, I mean, synthesis, there's only one place in the game you can do synthesis, and that's Traverse Town. Basically giving you a reason to go back. What I will say about Kingdom Hearts is that, I mean, they kind of fixed it in the later versions in a way where you can't repeat boss battles, which is a complaint I have about the games. Like, this isn't the first game in particular. This is the first game, the second game, Chain of Memories. I think it's just those three games that do it, because the other versions, there is, like, some way to replay the boss. And I know it's kind of like, if I do the boss once, why would I ever want to do it again? Because sometimes the bosses are really fun. Especially if you do it later. Ooh, you can just wreck it. Oh, I love going into a boss battle that, like, that's just gonna destroy it. Because I'm so highly leveled from the last, like, three worlds I've done. But in the first game, you can't do it. Technically, you can, but you would have to use different save files, and that's a pain, because then your thing runs out of data. But, anyway, you can't do replay boss battles. Hopefully in the third game you're able to, without really going into, like, you have to make a bunch of different save files for your, you know, your favorite battles or whatever. Because that's gonna be stupid. Replaying bosses is kind of an important part of the game, because, you know, there are some times where, like, I just kind of think in my head, like, dang, that boss was really hard. I want to go back now and see if it's any easier. Which, when we get to Kingdom Hearts 2, Zaldin? Ooh, gosh, he's a really fun boss if you know what I'm talking about with Zaldin. But he's not in the first game. In the first game, the organization really barely makes an appearance. If any appearance, now that I think about it. I don't think they really interact with you much. Besides that, you know there's a character named Roxas, which is basically Sora's other half, which I'm not even going to go into, because it's some really complicated crap. For that, you have to, like, understand, like, you know, the history of, like, nobodies and the nobodies organization and, like, how you become a nobody and how you get hurt and all this other crap. In the first game, you don't have to worry about that. You just worry about the Disney characters and you move on with your life. Now, another thing about a game that I kind of really like is post-game content. Post-game content is really ridiculous sometimes. Like, they make it hard. They really do. Because post-game content in video games just kind of don't work sometimes. Like, I mean, in games like Mario Galaxy, which I will eventually talk about, it really works with that. But, like, I can't think of a game where it doesn't work, but there are times where, like, the post-game content just isn't worth it. I mean, you could think of FNAF, depending on, like, how you view that game, if you just wanted it to end quicker, but I mean, I don't know. And speaking of FNAF, you know what? I'll save my FNAF rants for another episode, because, we all know that everyone has something to say about FNAF. Ugh. I like the series, first of all, but I won't go too much into it. That's all I'm actually going to say about the series, because if I start now, I'll never stop. So, when talking about post-game content, there's the hidden bosses, but then there's also the Olympus Coliseum. It kind of doubles as a post-game collection, because it's just like, here's a bunch of new cups where we put a bunch of enemies together in a blender and basically put them in an arena with you and say, fight them. Sequentially, of course, until you get to the end, you have to face Leon and Yuffie, which is ridiculous. It's actually really funny when you think about it, because Yuffie, okay, we're gonna talk about that fight. Leon and Yuffie is only there, and this is not me being mean, this is me telling the truth. Yuffie is only there because she basically makes it harder to hurt Leon, and it's not a joke, that's the truth. And if you've played the game, you would agree with me on that one. Like, it only makes her harder to hit. And I know that kind of sounds dumb, but it really does. Because Leon's, like, the main guy, and I'm not saying, like, this has nothing to do with the fact of, like, you know, it's a girl or whatever. No, it's the fact that, I mean, her powers are useful. She throws ninja stars at you, and they make you flinch, which is basically the whole point of her being there, is to make you flinch a lot. Especially if you're in the middle of a combo, or in Berserk Charge, if you're in the second game. Oh, and they make multiple appearances, and multiple cups. But Leon is a powerhouse that can really hurt you. And Leon actually can do, or Yuffie can actually really do a lot of damage too. It just kind of takes a little bit. Because, I mean, like, their desperation moves are insane and all this kind of stuff. But, like, just in general, the post-game content for that is just that kind of stuff. It's just basically, here's a couple little extra runs for you to do. For no reason at all besides helping you get the ultimate blade and prepare you for the hidden bosses. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to mention about the first game. There is. Okay. And that wasn't actually, like, comedic timing, like, oh my gosh, you actually found something else to talk about the game. I actually just now thought of it, but, if you played the first game, you'll probably remember how agonizing Hollow Bastion was. If you don't remember, if you've never played the first game, let me explain. For the second to last world of the game, they decide to take your Keyblade away. And, well, your magic as well. So you're useless for the first half of the world. They pull this little stunt again, but I mean, they didn't pull it off as well the second time. The first time it was just like, oh, are you kidding me? I have to go through the, like, Like, you'll really think, like, I have to go through this whole world without my Keyblade? Because they're kind of like, huh, you've become reliant on that, have you? Huh, let's take that away from you. Which, it's cool, but it's true. Now, you have the help of Donald and Goofy to defeat Heartless for you and break blocks and use spells and stuff like that. That's another reason why they're there, but, like, at the same time, it's just kind of like that. But, yeah, they did it very well. Hollow Bastion, great world in Kingdom Hearts 1. Halloween Town, another great world. Any world with Oogie Boogie fights in it are really good. But, you know, wow, this podcast has actually been going on for quite a while. I didn't think it would go on for this long. But, if I'm being fair, I think that's all I have to say about Kingdom Hearts 1. The difficulties don't really change between modes. I mean, they do a little bit, but it's not crazy. It's just kind of there. You don't really notice it that much either. It's not like you get an experience change. You just kind of see barely a difference. Now, I'm going to put this at the end of the episode because I know if you're listening this late, then you actually kind of care. If you actually care about this podcast, please, once again, share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with people you care about or you hate, depending on how you feel about this podcast. The other Kingdom Hearts episodes will be out soon, but I wouldn't say, like, it's going to be my top priority, because there are other things I want to talk about. I want to talk about, like, FNAF. I want to talk about, like, movies and stuff, like the ending of Infinity War, for example, which honestly is going to be pretty terrible when we talk about. But there are so many other things I do want to talk about in the series, and this episode will also be unedited, and I'm sorry, but I just don't really like editing my stuff. I like being as real as possible, and this is about as real as I can get. No editing and all that stuff. So, if you've listened this late, thank you for watching, and I hope to see you guys next time that I post. Note, I haven't put a schedule up yet, so we'll figure out how that goes. I just kind of record when I can. But again, thank you guys for watching, and have a great day.